Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, today we come to the Holy Church, and the church, having been now for almost a month in the color red, is now in the color of gold. And if we are observant of the way that these things work, we realize that likely it is not any longer the fast. And in fact, you are correct. Today we end the fast that prepares us for this particular feast, the feast of Saints Peter and Paul. This is not just a regular old Sunday for us, brothers and sisters, although I think we have to fight the temptation of the concept of regular old Sunday in any case. Each Sunday, we celebrate our Lord's resurrection. That's not a regular old anything. That's a wonderful, powerful, incredibly life-changing event. But today, we make an addition to this great and life-changing event, and we celebrate the great apostles, Peter and Paul. Both of these men began life with a different name than the name that they ended it with. Simon and Saul became Peter and Paul. In today's gospel reading, where the confession of St. Peter is recalled, we find a place that often causes some confusion, sometimes consternation, and sometimes just confusion. Confusion on both sides. There's a lot of confusion. St. Peter is, of course, with the other apostles. At this time, he's clearly the leader. He and his brother, although you can say St. John and St. James too. I mean, it's really not all that clear exactly who is in charge. But in any case, certainly St. Peter is one of those who is leading, one of the leaders. And Christ asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter says that you are Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the Lord says, "You're Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Now some say that means that only Peter has the keys to the kingdom of heaven, because right after that he says, "And I will give thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, and what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." And for those who are confused about such things, this means that only those who are the princes after Peter, that is the popes of Rome, have any of the power in the church, and all others are secondary. Let's just say we don't agree with that interpretation. And the reason is because Christ is not building his church upon Peter, he's building it upon the confession that he made, that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. This is the key, brothers and sisters, not the person of Peter. And it's very obvious when we see in the Acts of the Apostles. And the Apostles, for the first time, have a council. Here they are discussing the very important concept of whether someone needs to first become a Jew before they can become a Christian. And they decide that that's not necessary. And of course, Peter, being the prince or the king or the czar of the apostles, he sits first and makes all the decisions, right? Maybe you read the different Acts than I did, but in the Acts that I read, it's St. James who chairs this particular meeting. Why? Because it took place in Jerusalem, and he is the bishop of Jerusalem. And this, although it might seem like I'm trying to make a big deal about something that's Roman Catholic, and that's outside the church anyway, and so why am I talking about it? I'm not. What I'm trying to say is that the church is conciliar. This is a really important word. That's today's big word. This is a very important word for us, conciliar. Basically, each church governs itself. The Russian church, the Serbian church, you know, the Ecumenical Patriarchate, all of the different local churches govern themselves. But we share the same faith. Today, brothers and sisters, is really a celebration of the church. of understanding what the church is. The church is the ark of salvation. God came to earth largely to establish his church. And I love the metaphor of the ark. And I think it's very applicable in our days. Right, if you are in the ark with Noah, you're in a pretty good place. You understand that God told Noah to build the ark, and then, you know, there was quite a bit of rain, and you realize that you're safe and others probably are not. Now, our temptation always is, well, let me just jump out and swim, because I myself, you know, I can fix this problem, I can do this, God, I will bring into the situation if there is a panic, but otherwise, I will take care of all of this myself, and I will just swim for it. Okay, you might make it, but you might not. You see, brothers and sisters, the ark of our salvation, the Holy Church, was given to us exactly for that salvation. So sometimes we get worried, or we get tempted, or we hear something that some babushka says that makes us worry, that, oh my gosh, this is not what I thought the church was. And although babushki are known for their excellent theological education, sometimes they are wrong. And sometimes it's just a temptation. But the key, brothers and sisters, is first, talk to the priest. Find out if what you hear is really true, and what's the context of that, right? We always get this problem. We get a little bit off kilter here. We get so much into the world that we forget that the church is here to guide us morally and spiritually and to nurture us. That, like a loving mother, it's there to help us. And occasionally, if we don't hear everything that we want to hear, which is usually you do whatever you want and you will be saved. That's what we want to hear. But that's not usually what we do here. Think of it like your mother. Did your mother tell you always, just do whatever you want, it's fine, you will grow up to be a perfectly good person, I really don't need to exercise any oversight here, you know, I'll just have some food ready for you, and you just do whatever you want. Listen, if your mother told you that, then please come talk to me, because we probably have a lot of things we need to unpack. But that's not usually the way it works. We are given some guidance by our parents. Sometimes we're giving a lot of guidance, and always we think it's too much guidance. The same is true with the church, brothers and sisters. The church is given for our salvation, and like a loving mother, it tries to guide us there. It doesn't just say to us, do whatever you want, it's fine, no problem. Jesus Christ came to the world so that you can do whatever you want. You realize, of course, that I'm being facetious. Jesus Christ came into the world so that we could attain salvation, so that we could be changed, so that we could be transformed. You see, in this early time of the church, when Saints Peter and Paul were preaching the word of God all over the known world, it was like a very beautiful seed falling upon a very fertile earth. And the church began to grow very quickly. The pagan world had been prepared already since the Romans conquered the Jews. Everyone began to know about God coming to earth. So when he did, everyone was ready to accept him. Maybe not everyone, but many people. And from time immemorial, from that very early time in the church, there has always been this struggle for us, for mankind, to humble himself before his Creator. We aren't really into humility. We tend to lean more towards pride. But these holy apostles, and the other apostles, and the other disciples, and all the Christians, to the greatest extent that they could, tried to humble themselves and to bend their own will to the will of God. This was only required of them, and we, in our times, do not need to do this at all. Of course, that's just such a silly statement. You understand that I can't be possibly saying the truth. He also wrote our prayers. So Saints Peter and Paul are for us an example. An example of those who were changed. Saul, the great persecutor of Christians, was changed to Paul. It means something small, something almost not infinitesimal, but not important. He went from the proud Pharisee and was humbled and accepted Christ and became something small. But as we heard in today's epistle, God is made great in our weakness. Peter, the illiterate fisherman, became a great leader of the apostles and spreader of the gospel of our Lord. Both were vouchsafed a martyr's crown, and both dwell now in the heavenly kingdom. I'll leave you with just one more thought, which I think is really applicable to us in our days. St. Paul said that, and I'm paraphrasing now, he knew what he was supposed to do, but that what he was supposed to do, he didn't do. And that he was not supposed to do, he did. It is, even the great apostle, filled with God's grace, who heard the voice of God on the road to Damascus, still wasn't quite able to do what he knew that he had to do. We all struggle with this, brothers and sisters. And it seems to me that somehow we kind of forget about these apostles. We know that they're there. We know that there's going to be a fast before their feast. But somehow we don't really think, like, maybe I should ask their prayers before God. And I think St. Paul especially in this regard. He struggled to do what was right, even though he knew what was right. We also struggle to do what is right, even though we know what is right. So brothers and sisters, on this day, the feast of the Apostle Paul, but on all days, we should consider to ask his prayers before the Lord. He stands by his throne, and certainly as someone who couldn't do the right thing all the time, he will be one who is zealous to pray for us, who also can't do the right thing all the time. The most important thing, brothers and sisters, is where we finish the race. St. Paul started it in not a very good place, but he ended it in the exact best place for his salvation. We can do this too. No matter what came before, we can be changed, just as these apostles were. Changed into the child of God, as long as we make a sincere effort and we ask God's blessing. May he grant this to all of us.
Pray for the salvation of your world.